Radio 1 Podcast. Radio 1 Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Now. The Scott Mills Daily.
Hello, it's me, Scott. Morning, everybody. Hi, Tulip.
Morning.
I did like the warning email you sent to all of us before we came down here this morning.
It was horrendous. I actually was retching when I walked in.
What did the email say?
Warning, the studio smells like something has died in it.
Yeah, thanks for warning us.
I've taken the bin out, and I think I know what the problem is. You know yesterday when I waved that massive sausage in your face?
Oh, it's not still in the bin. Oh.
Well...
Oh. That'll be it, won't it? Mm. So it's actually our fault, sorry. Mm. Hi, Andy.
Hello.
Now, can I just ask, has anyone had a snowball thrown at them yet?
No.
I think I did yesterday.
Right.
I was walking back from the train station and something hit the back of my coat.
Right.
I had to walk home yesterday and I didn't get a snowball thrown at me, but people who were broken down were having snowballs thrown at their cars.
Oh, yeah, when I was stuck in... remember that time when I was stuck in my car for 9 hours? Mm. People were throwing snowballs. And when you've been stuck in your car for 9 hours, you really do not want someone throwing a snowball at your face.
I was getting into a cab yesterday and was properly ambushed by about 3 10-year-olds. Two of... What?
That's almost as good as your drive-by egging that time.
It is. Two of... outside that pub.
Yeah.
That wasn't fair either. Two of them just kind of... hit the cab. One of them did brush my left ear, which is...
Did you pick one up and throw one back?
No, I didn't want to retaliate, Andy. I don't think that's the right thing to do. Does show you how big my ears are, though. Yeah. Right, we'll start off with Chucky and let the bass kick in Miami, girl. Hope you're all right this morning. Podcast. It's all about the ice today. Not so much the snow, all about the ice. As I was saying, I was getting in a cab yesterday and 10-year-olds ambushed me with some snowballs. One of them did actually quite hurt. Hi, Scott. Farmer here from Wales. I was in Southampton and Bournemouth yesterday delivering office furniture and I had 4 youths throwing some at me. You see, I was this far away from calling South Yorkshire Police, but then I remember what they said on their answer phone.
This is the South Yorkshire Police. Due to the severe weather conditions, we are receiving an increasing number of calls. If your call is relating to persons throwing snowballs, please consider if there is a requirement for police attendance.
I considered it and I thought, actually, no, there isn't a need for police attendance here at all. And then I remembered I wasn't in South Yorkshire, I was in London, quite far away. We had a little team meeting yesterday in a pub near the One That Doesn't Speak's house. Haven't been there for a long time, it was really nice. Quite quiet as well, because no one was going out. And as we arrived, the snow was dumping down. What's the term for snow?
A lot of people are saying dumping, but I don't like that.
Right.
Well, coming down quite thick.
Well, you know when you say rain, you say, oh, it's down.
Yeah, chucking it down.
Chucking it down. What do you say for snow? It is...
snowing.
Whatever snow does.
Down.
Dumping.
Drifting. Dumping
down.
Is not... Snow does not dump. It's really pretty when it comes down.
Anyway, it was properly snowing when we arrived.
Do you know what? It was so thick and I didn't know where I was going when I got off the train. So I just followed the 2 footprint, like the... your both sets of footprints to the pub. It's brilliant.
Yeah, easy to find.
Yeah.
And we were thinking, oh, this is brilliant. And the one that doesn't speak was like, right, okay, Millsy, as he often says to me.
Said, I've never heard him say that at all.
He said, Millsy, strap yourself in. We're going to be here for a while.
Say, all right, Millsy, strap yourself in.
Yeah, he's like, strap yourself in. Could be here for a while. Mind you, worst places to be, eh? To be locked in. And then it just stopped. The snow just stopped and just turned to rubbish, sleety rain. And we went home. The end. Radio 1
Podcast. Download them for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.
Michael and Hitchin's been on saying that on Studio 5, live from Studio 5 last night, the bloke reporting got pelted with snowballs by kids in the background. That's not funny. Do not ever pelt news reporters when they're trying to do a serious report about the snow because they don't like it and it just doesn't look good on TV. That was Marina and the Diamonds and Hollywood. Hello, it's Scott. And we're in for Moyles until Monday. That's when they're back, 6:30 Monday morning. Chris Moyles and the team. Plan B and Mini Viva coming up. And now it's time for Dear Scott. The posh Radio 4 lady is back with the stuff that you've been saying to us.
Dear Scott, Becky, Chappers, if he's still there, and the PR4L.
He's gone.
It's Bert Bailey here, the chilli grower, off of Berkhamsted in Hertfordshire.
Ah, Bert Bailey, the chilli grower. How are you doing? Is he related to Bill Bailey?
Oh, mate, probably.
We'll ask him.
Same surname.
Because he's a comedian and bird watcher, Bill Bailey. Bert Bailey's the chilli grower. We'll ask him later when he comes in.
This has been bothering me for a little while now. I'm sure the PR4L has done the voiceovers on all those roulette arcade machines that have appeared in bookmakers in recent years. Maybe you can find out if it's her or not. Place your bets, please, in her posh voice. Love you, Bert Bailey, Chairman, Berkhamsted Chilli Growing Society.
Thanks, Bert. See, I went to Blackpool a couple of years ago, which is probably the last time I saw one of those machines, because I'm not a fan of bookies, really. I don't go in all the time. And they sang a little song then. It was like, place your bets now, please. Have you ever heard that song, or am I making that up?
Is that a song?
Place your bets now, please. That's what they used to do.
Oh.
Right, correct me if I'm wrong, please, because maybe I made that up, but I thought that they used to do a little song. But now, it's obviously her going, place your bets, please. I wouldn't put it past her, to be honest. There's not much she won't say for money, so yeah, it probably is.
Apart from that one thing that we... What was that we asked her to say and she refused to do it?
She said, I'm not saying that.
That must have been really rude for her not to...
She'll say anything, so I'm just surprised. I can't remember what it was now, but it must have been quite rude. Next!
Hiya.
Hi.
Just a random question. I was wondering, in the Radio 1 studio, how many studios are there? Does everyone share the same studio at different times, or are there separate ones for each DJ? Just wondering. Amanda.
Amanda's not a separate one for each DJ, because that would be a lot of studios.
But you and Chris do have the biggest one. This is like the best one, isn't it? Our one.
It is the best one, yeah. Because it's bigger. But there's kind of three that get used for the DJs, and then another one which people just...
It's more like with decks and stuff, isn't it?
Decks in it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, three, maybe four if you count the one with decks in, which doesn't get used that much.
And Fern and Greg have the same studio.
Yeah. Ours is the one that always smells of the bin, like it did this morning. Because I think we left the chorizo, which we had out yesterday. They smell, don't they? Mm. We left it in the bin. Bins hadn't been cleared away. Mm. Smelled like something had died in here first thing this morning. Next!
Hi, Scott.
Hi.
Here's a Facebook group to get behind. Brian Blessed for Strictly Come Dancing 2010.
Yes!
Andrew, London.
Why?
Because it would be amazing! Can you imagine him on the ice doing a triple salco?
I don't even know what that is, but yeah.
I think it's some weird thing where they jump up in the air and spin their legs a lot.
Hi, Brian Blossett! I mean, people are setting up Facebook groups for anything now, mostly to try and get tracks in the top 10 or to number one, like that Girls Aloud one we were on about the other day. Untouchable, apparently, was their only song that's never been in the top 10, and there's a Facebook group trying to get it into the top 10. Pointless. But yeah, go for your
life.
What
are you saying about Girls Aloud?
I'm just saying that, just leave it. It's like, because Rage Against the Machine did it, now everyone's having a go, and that was probably a one-off, I would imagine. But anyway, if you want Brian Blessed in Strictly, you just go for your life on your Facebook. Next.
Dear Scott, Becky, the one that doesn't speak, and Chappers, RIP. As I am writing this email, it is the fifth day of the new year, and the third time I have failed to go to the gym already this year, when I promised that I would. Normally this wouldn't bother me. I'm a general lard arse for most of the year anyway, but I really am bothered at the moment. Here's why. I have received a Christmas card and a Happy New Year card from my local Chinese takeaway.
Oh, God. Okay.
It's only at the end of the street, and I'm a 22-year-old lad who lives with a load of other lads, none of whom can be bothered to cook, but that's not the point. I feel guilty as hell. Is this normal? Have you or Becky ever received not one but two cards from your local Chinese? Are they just really friendly, or am I really eating too much?
I have had Christmas cards from the Chinese.
Have you?
Yeah.
How often do you have to go there to get a Christmas card? Because I go once a week and I've never had anything.
No, I mean, I don't go there all the time. I probably don't even go there once a week, but they're nice at my local Chinese. So yeah, I have. And my Indian, I get one from them as well.
Really?
Yeah.
I think the one that doesn't speak was invited to his Indian restaurant's Christmas party one year.
Is that right?
Now, you have to be living there to go there.
That is extreme if you get invited to their Christmas party. But yes, I have had a Chinese and Indian Christmas card. Never a Happy New Year card, though. That's what worries me about this.
You and Becky both sound like you may have had this happen to you, as you talk about food a lot. so please advise. Thanks, smiley. Tom, off of Warrington.
Yeah, maybe Tom learn how to cook a bit, is my advice, because a Happy New Year card is quite extreme, I think.
It's not even Chinese New Year.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it's not.
And who's ever got a Happy New Year card? Anyway.
I've got one.
Have you?
Yeah.
Really?
I've got a Happy New Year card at home. Just the one.
I've never sent one. Yeah. Or got one. I feel left out now. Maybe I need to eat more Chinese.
Well, just by the fact that you've never even seen one or been sent one or got one,
yeah,
would suggest that maybe, Tom, you need to sort that out. Scott.mills@bbc.co.uk is my email address. Just put Dear Scott in the subject. It'll find its way to me. I'll pass it on to the PR4L. She'll read it out on Radio 1. Sorted. Now, we were trying to work out yesterday, because it's so unpredictable at the moment, whether Becky should stay in London and either stay at my house or be put up in a hotel or something, or go home and risk getting snowed in so she wouldn't be on the show today, like what happened before. Because you do live millions of miles away from here.
Which is fine on a normal day, because I just get the train. It takes about half an hour. But
where you live, there is a lot of snow. How many inches?
Got about 10 inches.
Is it?
Yeah. My boyfriend's dad measured it last night, and it took up a whole ruler.
Good morning. That's
my boyfriend's dad. You can't do any Hindu bingo about that.
He actually got a ruler out and measured it.
No, stop it.
No, yeah, the snow. Anyway. So what do you do in these situations? Because, you know, you can't really predict the weather. Is it going to be, like, really bad snow where Becky lives? Is it going to be okay here? So what do you do in those situations? We get my phone out and we use the app Ask the Hoff.
Any question, he will know. He will know. Ask the Hoff.
He knows everything. This is what he says.
I'm the Hoff. Think of me as your personal Buddha. With fluffy hair.
He's your personal Buddha. So we asked it, first of all, should Becky go home or should she stay in London?
I have just consulted my fantastically handsome brain, and the answer is yes!
Rubbish. Somebody remembered that it's only yes or no answers, really. A bit like a magic eight ball. But you've got a new celebrity magic eight ball style device, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
Which celebrity magic eight ball is this?
It's the Churchill dog.
Oh, yes.
Right. So you can ask it any question.
Oh, yes.
That's really good. You just squeeze it and off it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so...
He knows the answer to everything, this dog.
Can I ask it a question?
Yep.
What shall I have for breakfast today?
Oh, yes.
Oh, that doesn't work.
Oh,
it
has to be yes or no.
Okay, all right. Is Bill Bailey coming into the show later?
Oh, yes.
Is this jumper really stylish?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, see?
I love this. It's changed my life since I started using it.
And you consult your Churchill dog every day now.
Yeah, it's like, should I have loads of cheese for lunch?
Oh, yes.
Should I have another cake?
Oh, yes.
Oh, it's brilliant, isn't it?
I love it. It's really changed good. My life.
Is this record of the week ace?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Owl City. Is it called Fireflies?
Oh, yes.
Is it 7:44?
Oh, yes.
Radio 1 Podcasts.
Podcast.
Morning, Natalie in Bristol, who, after we were talking about it yesterday, found that workout album in her mum's record collection from the old Radio 1 DJ, Peter Powell. We played this yesterday when fitness guru Tracy Anderson came in. Is she on the podcast yet?
Yeah.
bbc.co.uk/radio1. She's the person that trained the likes of Gwyneth Paltrow and Madonna and Shakira and made them look amazing. So we played this yesterday. Thank you, Natalie, for your email. This was from the days before fitness videos or DVDs, where they just had fitness records on vinyl, on an album. And Natalie found this one by Peter Powell in her mum's record collection.
Arms out front, now double time. Out, 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 out.
And because you couldn't
out,
see them,
out,
and it was just
out,
on a record,
out, out, out.
They clearly weren't doing the exercises out, at all. Out, they're just going jog, 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 jog.
Push, 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 okay. Push, push.
It's got stuck again.
Push, push, push.
Okay.
Now then, are you ready to get some energy into your body? Well, let's have a go and start by jogging. Jog, 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 jog.
No exercise required in that. Natalie says that she got her mum to put it on yesterday. Nice. Now, Dev, who's doing our show in the afternoon, he found another one yesterday. This is by an old TV presenter called Lionel Blair, who went into the fitness world for a bit. Now, he is clearly not moving at all on this one. And at the beginning, it does sound like some kind of mysterious 70s horror film. It's quite sinister, like the kind that you would find on the Sci-Fi Channel or something. Listen to this.
Welcome to my world of aerobic dancing. The world of fitness and fun. The word aerobics means sustained rhythm. Sustained rhythm can be swimming or jogging. But with me, it's going to be dancing. So let's dance, dance, dance aerobics. We start with the warm-up. So let's warm up together with stretching exercises. Start with your feet apart and your arms up in the air. Then bend slowly to the floor to the count of four and back up to the ceiling with lots of feeling.
You carry on doing that.
Script.
You carry on doing that. I'll have another glass of wine. It's quite sinister, though.
Welcome to my world of aerobic dancing. Bounce on the spot. Keep going. That's great. Do you feel good? So do I.
What is he doing?
Walk around the room. Jog. That's right, jog on the spot. Keep jogging. I feel wonderful. Who am I kidding?
Right, that, I could do that.
I'm not being funny, but it's one step too far when he does the fake heavy breathing, isn't it?
I tell you what is one step too far when you look at the album cover and Lionel's there in his Y front.
Oh, you so need to do an exercise app.
I could do that. I could just sit here now, drinking my coffee, eating my toast and going, oh, jog, go on. Oh, oof.
Oh, we need to make you one.
You're wonderful. Who am I kidding?
Who are you kidding?
Well, we're coming to the end of the cool down now, but don't go away. Try doing all the exercises by yourselves on the flip side.
Is he doing
on
a sexy
flip
voice?
Side. Who says that?
On the other side of the album. Is he doing a sexy voice, do you think?
Yeah.
I'm still going to be here, and I hope you will be too. See you. 2, 3, 4, sit up. 2. Last time coming up, roll.
Oh, Lionel. Not in those shorts.
The Scott Mills Daily.
Oh, what's occurring?
All right, it's time for Oh, What's Occurring? It's you against Becky today, so tell me your scores, but please be honest.
Oh, what's occurring?
You can text in your score and how well you did to 81199. But like I said, be honest. It's a game. It's Becky against you. And if you cheat, you are cheating yourself. Thank you.
Oh, what's occurring?
First one today. You know Alan Sugar?
Yes.
Sir Alan. He's got quite a recognisable voice, hasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
And a good catchphrase. You're fired.
To try again? Bit more Alan. Bit more like Alan Sugar.
You're fired.
That's better. Yeah. Need some work, that one, before you can release it.
But do you think that people on Stupid Street would recognise his voice if they heard it? We asked 19 people. That's right.
It's quite a big survey this week.
19 on the Street of Stupid. And how many would correctly identify the voice as being Alan Sugar when they heard it?
I don't know. If he's saying his catchphrase, loads. If he's not, then I'm going
to
say 7.
It's not my impression they hear. It is actual Alan Sugar they hear.
Okay, 18.
All right, let's find out.
Oh, what's occurring?
So we wandered onto Stupid Street, played with some Alan Sugar, but would they recognise his recognisable voice?
You're fired.
Do you know who that is?
I don't have a clue. Simon Cowell or...
Do you think it's Simon Cowell?
Yeah.
You're fired.
I think it sounds like an old man, like a politician, maybe like Gordon Brown.
Now you are talking nonsense.
Oh, Sir Alan Sugar? Sir Alan Sugar.
Absolutely.
Michael Caine?
Is it Vinnie Jones?
The guy that plays Gandalf, maybe? Ian McKellen? McKellen?
Ian McKellen?
Ian McKellen, that's it.
Is it Dumbledore from Harry Potter?
You're fired.
Do you recognise the voice at all?
Yeah, but I don't... Oh, my God, I know the voice. I know it.
Piers Morgan.
Piers Morgan?
Yeah.
You're fired.
Who do you think that is?
I don't know. He sounds really scary, though. Louis off X Factor.
Louis Walsh?
Yeah.
What is going on here?
I think it's George Clooney.
Alan Sugar, yeah.
It's a man.
It is a man. Do you recognise him?
No. Am I meant to? Is that a politician or something?
Do you reckon it's a politician?
Boris Johnson?
You're fired.
Who is it?
It was Alan Sugar. Because it sounds like him. It does. It is him.
Absolutely.
Who do you reckon that is? Ricky Gervais.
Simon Cowell.
David Attenborough. Because he sounds like really old.
You're fired.
Who do you think that clip is?
Anne Widdecombe.
Who?
Anne Widdecombe.
The MP?
Yes.
That's a man's voice.
Oh.
They never disappoint. Right, only four out of a possible 19 recognise that as Sir Alan Sugar.
Oh! What's the kidding?
Becky said 18. Let me know what you said.
Stephen said 5, so he was closer.
Right, next one. You know Simon Cowell?
Yes.
Does ask himself questions a lot.
Oh, go on, do us another impression.
Do I look fabulous today? Yes. And I'll tell you why. Because I am. He's like his own magic eight ball.
He is, yeah.
I reckon he probably does say that in front of the mirror every day. A question. Last time round, in the last series of X Factor, what just finished, in one single episode, how many times did Simon ask himself a question?
Oh, it's loads.
He does do it a lot.
10.
10 in one episode. Let's find out.
Oh, what's occurring?
Here's Simon asking himself some questions.
Was it as good as last week? No. Are you still one of the best singers? Absolutely yes. Is it my favourite version of that song? No. Is it better than last week? Arguably a little bit.
Oh. It seems like more, doesn't it, when he's on?
Only four.
But only four in that episode. You said 10. Let me know how you did, listeners.
Oh! What's the kidding?
Not going so well for you today, is it?
No, Chloe's doing better than me, and Becca and Ben. Rubbish.
You know Mini-Me?
Yes. Oh, I love him so much.
Even saying Mini-Me makes you giggle.
It's just because I love him so much.
Do you think he's a big fan of Michael Jackson songs?
I don't know. Not as much as David Guest is. Small fan.
A small fan?
Sorry, that was a really bad joke.
That's a really bad small joke.
Really bad joke.
Well, when he came in, we played him 3 Michael Jackson songs, famous ones, and then we just stopped them. My question, how many could Mini-Me carry on singing with correct words? Not as easy as you might think. 3 songs, how many could he carry on singing correctly?
2.
Oh, he must be a fan then, a small fan. Let's find out.
Oh, what's occurring?
Here's Mini-Me carrying on singing Michael Jackson, first one.
Thriller night. So I'm on the move and you are here.
No.
Oh. No. I'm bad. You know it. I'm bad. I'm hearing you or thinking of me. Cause I'm bad. I'm bad. I'm bad looking at you. I'm bad.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
No. Next one.
Over in the night, just beat it. Beat it. We're coming to you live, let's beat it. Just beat it. We're staying here and you can come see us, so beat it.
Yeah. Right, here's what actually happens in the song.
Call me just right. It doesn't matter who's wrong or right.
See?
Just beat it.
When you hear the music, it's so easy.
Yeah, I know. It's, that's weird.
No, none. You said 2. Let me know how your scores went, please, on 81199. That was today's... Oh!
Oh!
This
is a podcast from BBC Radio 1.
And now, he's made it through the snow.
Yeah.
I kept my world protected.
I had some problems, but now I'm here.
Hey, Bill Bailey.
Hey, hello.
You all right?
Yeah, good.
I'll turn this John Barrowman off now.
Yeah, if you could. Right, yeah, thanks very much.
So you managed to get here despite the snow overload.
Despite the travel chaos.
Yeah.
I somehow managed to get through.
Took you about 10 minutes.
Yeah, 10 minutes, straight through. Yeah. Not a problem. But for the quickest journeys, one of the quickest journeys I've ever made.
We were just saying, off air, about when they say, do not go out unless it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, exactly. And who are you to tell me what is a necessary journey, right? I might be making a tricolore salad, and I'd be going out for some fresh mozzarella. And if I don't get the mozzarella, that tricolore salad will be ruined. That is an absolutely essential journey.
We were also talking about the poor, poor, freezing reporters as well on all the news channels at the moment. Bless them.
Poor little...
All over the country.
I know, you could see them just cursing. There's a sort of, as you say, there's a kind of hint of bitterness about what they're saying. Yeah. Yeah, back to you in the studio.
In the warm studio.
In the studio, where I'm here in some hellhole, minus 14, when my chin stops working. Hello, welcome here to Oxford. And then surrounded by these blithering idiots, why can't you pick someone who can speak or formulate a sentence? That would really help. So, what was your experience coming to work today? Yeah, well, it's all, snow and that, and then all, it's icy and everything, and it's mental, wasn't it, Barry, wasn't it? Yeah, great. No. We don't need to know your opinion.
Thing is, yesterday I'd arranged to meet my producer here in the pub for an important meeting. Well, we'd arranged it, and I felt it was necessary to turn up, so therefore that's necessary.
Yeah,
so
of course
I travelled,
it is.
And it was necessary.
Absolutely, you make a plan. You know, don't tell me what I cannot do.
Yeah. Now, I like to see what you've been doing. I'm new to Twitter, you see, so I'm on it every 5 seconds.
Okay.
And I've been watching what you've been doing.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I follow you and I like to know, but I'm too actually scared to come up to you in person. We actually were in the same restaurant as you 2 days ago.
Do you remember us?
Really? Yes. Were you in Westfield?
Yes.
Yeah, we were.
Were you in Ballins in Westfield?
Yes. And I came over to speak
to... Oh, that's who it was.
I came over to speak to your friend.
Yeah.
And you looked like you were having a really kind of nice family lunch, and obviously I knew the guy that was with you.
Yes.
But then I thought, oh no, this is an embarrassing situation.
We didn't want to interrupt.
Do I say, oh hi Bill, it's me and Scott here, you're going to see us.
You should have come over.
So I was just really nervous, and I was like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
I hid behind a menu.
Scott was hiding behind some omelettes.
Well, that's weird, that's bizarre. Why did you do that? You
see,
you could have come over, we could have had a right old laugh.
Yeah.
We could have probably ordered some smoothies or something.
Yeah, crazy.
And it just gone mad from there on in. And then we'd have gone round Westfield.
Yeah, together.
Together, like zombies.
Yeah. What do people, you know, when people aren't too scared to come up to you in the street, what do they say to you normally?
Normally there was a chap just outside here this morning, and he had all my DVD covers and everything I've ever done. Some people are very...
Oh, I saw him hanging outside. He's been there since six.
Yes. He spoke to me. Well, anyway, he spoke to me. He went, got some DVDs. What are you doing?
Scott, you knew he was out there.
You could have brought him in.
I didn't realise he was waiting for you, but there was a random...
Oh, Bill Bailey DVDs.
No, I didn't see those. He didn't produce those at the time.
He'd made a coat out of them. He'd fashioned a waistcoat out of all my product, my merchandise.
He did look a bit cold.
Yeah, he was freezing.
Oh, I wonder why he was hanging around.
That's right. Well, I wondered why somebody was shivering in a doorway. That's very, very warm-hearted of you. People do... I mean, it's odd. It's, people have a sort of a strange attitude to if people recognise you in the street. Some people just, you know, very friendly, and that's great. And other people have an odd attitude where they think, oh, I better not say, oh, and then, oh, shall I? And then some people have this completely upfront attitude where they say, hello, can you talk to my sister? And they'll just have a phone that they've turned on, and they've phoned their sister up, and they've gone, Susie's here, he's here. Say hello to her, quick. And they'll just hand the phone to you, and you'll have to go, hello, who are you? Tidy your room or something. It's odd. Yeah, it is odd.
You don't really have a catchphrase, do you? Normally, if you've got a catchphrase, that's what people shout.
People shout it out,
Like Victor Meldrew likes nothing better than people shouting out, I don't believe it,
don't
in
believe
the street.
It. Oh, they love God, it. That's the first time anyone's said that.
Yeah. Yeah. Ruth Jones, she loves people going, oh, what's occurring in the street? She loves it.
Yeah. Now, with me, it's great not having a catchphrase, because people just sort of look at me and they go, oh, you're that, the bloke off, or what they used to say was Buzzcocks! People driving past, hey, Buzz Coxie! Like, you'd forget what programme you're on. Oh, yeah, that's it. That's where I'm supposed to be.
Now, I know just before Christmas you finished the tour, right?
Yeah.
The orchestra tour?
That's right.
Becky loves that.
Oh, yeah.
That was an amazing... I have to say, I've never been into sort of classical music and stuff, but my boyfriend's always talked about how it's instruments kind of talking to each other and stuff, but your explanation of it and the comedy that
instruments
comes from
talking
it,
to each other.
Is, no, but you know what I mean? Like, the way you explain
right.
it...
Oh, hello,
really
Mr. Violin. Oh, hello, Mr. Trumpet. How are you today? Oh, I'm all right.
It's some sort of rainbow-based scenario.
I'm not explaining it very well.
No, you're not explaining it very well.
Explain it better for
no,
me.
No, that's fine. I like the idea of them talking to, oh, I'm a big tuba, hello.
Yeah. I'm a little piccolo, hello.
I feel that's really going to sell the DVD.
Yeah, that really is. Yeah. We've already added another two units.
What is it? Tell people that don't know, tell us about
the
show.
Sorry, I'm being a bit facetious. Right. I enjoyed it. Mean. Yes, it is. It's a way that... What fascinated me is the fact that... You know, orchestras. You are made up of instruments, which maybe on their own make a certain sound. But you know, it's not the kind of the same as hearing them all together in an orchestra. There's something about the sum of the parts of instruments which creates something kind of quite magical when they all play together. It gets the old hairs on the back of the neck going. Mm. And I think that what I found with the tour, with the orchestra tour, was that people came to the, and very much, most probably people like yourself, maybe hadn't thought about going to see an orchestra live. And you go and see what, and firstly, you're bowled over by how loud it is and how kind of quite overwhelming the sound is. And also how sort of rock and roll it is, really, in a way. It's people just, you know, playing with great passion, and this sort of music completely sort of surrounds you. And a lot of people, were quite sort of surprised, actually, at how much they were into it and how much they thought, actually, you know, I'll go and see an orchestra again live because there's something quite amazing about it.
Mm. You've got a new show starting tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Birds. People are texting in to me, because I often get names wrong, saying, are you sure it's not Bill Oddie doing the show and not Bill Bates?
That's right, yeah.
But it is you.
Definitely me, yeah.
I watched it last night.
Yeah, it's definitely me. And it's like, yeah, because we want to try and get away from some weird bloke with a beard called Bill doing a programme about birds.
The thing is, when I first started to watch it, I was like, okay, so it's Bill Bailey, I get that. Is this a joke? Is this some kind of surreal, weird Bill Bailey thing?
Sketch.
But it's not.
No, it's for real.
Yeah.
It's totally for real.
It took me about 5 minutes to work that out.
Yeah.
But I never knew you were so into bird watching.
Like somebody was going to jump out in a bird costume.
Yeah. Or something weird was going to happen any second, but it didn't for the whole hour.
That's it. No, it's for real.
Okay.
And it's something I've been into since I was a kid.
Is that well known that you are into that?
I don't know. Right. I don't know. Perhaps it is. Perhaps it isn't.
You even got some new binoculars from Santa, didn't you?
I did indeed. I got binoculars and I got a telescope as well.
Did you? I've got one of them.
Have you?
I've lost interest in it a little bit. It was set up on my landing at home, and it kind of looks like I'm trying to peer into the neighbour's bedroom.
Which you
but
were.
I wasn't.
You were.
No.
Why else would it be accidentally set up in your hall?
We don't use it. It's just there. Anyway, it's called Bill Bailey's Bird Watching Bonanza. It's on Sky One.
That's it.
And the team captain, Alex Zane,
yeah,
teamed up with Cara Toynton.
Yes.
Used to be on EastEnders.
Yes.
And then you've got Jeff Green, very funny man.
Yes.
The other team captain. And he's teamed up with Joe Swash.
Yeah.
Even though Toynton and Swash are doing it, aren't
they?
That's
right. They're actually an actual couple in real life,
So they're kind of against each other.
Yeah, they are. And they were great, actually.
Yeah.
In fact, it's an odd mixture, really. I mean, the reason I sort of wanted to do it is because it meant going around Britain, camping in Britain. Outdoors, which I like doing.
It looks beautiful.
And, getting to see some fantastic bits of Britain and go birdwatching, which I like going to as a hobby as well. So
the first one's on Solway Firth, right?
Solway Firth, yeah, that's right, in Mersehead. And it's an amazing bit of Britain as well. It's sort of Dumfries and Galloway, so it's north of the Lake District. And it's a stunning part of the country. And we got to hang out there for about three or four days and just see these amazing sights, like this sort of... In that particular place that we're in the show tonight, there's 30,000 barnacle geese turn up from Norway, and they all land in this one place in a field, and then you sort of creep up to them, and you're trying to film like these barnacle geese, and each time you go, they go, right, go, be very quietly, and then they'll all take off, and so okay. So I creep up to them, and then I was doing the piece, and I go, I'm standing, and all the birds just take off, right? So I try again, so I stop. So you creep up to them again, I'm here with them, stop, you know. And so, but it's quite amazing, it's just an amazing sight, and I just think that it's if you know, you pretty see it, people see it and think, God, I didn't even know that was happening, yeah. You know, just up the road or you know, here in Britain. It's the sort of thing you imagine seeing in Africa or something, some sort of tropical paradise where there's like, you know, thousands of birds or flamingos or something. Yeah, it happens here.
Why did Joe Swash approach the birds with a hammer?
Well, that is not strictly the way to go about it. If you're trying to count, oyster catchers, right? And Joe, God bless him, you know, he had this idea that he needed some way, some method, because one of it's a kind of quiz and there's challenges and that. And tasks and getting a bird watching task, and one of them was to try and count oyster catchers, which are like very pretty little birds that kind of hang out on the mud flats. And there's a right way of counting them and a wrong way. And the wrong way is to go out there with a hammer.
Right, you'll see it tonight.
And he tries to sort of his idea, which is actually not it was you know in sound in one way, was to hammer in some wooden posts. And then count the number of birds between the posts, and then sort of tick them off, and then the next block of birds and count them off. Which is actually, you know, in theory, not a bad idea. But he wandered out onto the mudflats with a wooden mallet, and not surprisingly, thousands of birds all flew away. And he went, "Oh no, they flew away." which is great. But he was very. They were great. They were great. They were great fun. Very enthusiastic. You know. And
all right. Yeah. Bill is with us. Stay there, if that's all right with you.
Yeah.
Got some time?
Yeah, man.
All right.
Podcast.
Bill Bailey's with us. It's just gone 9 o'clock. Hi, Bill.
Yeah.
Just tucking a little bit of mango there, I noticed.
Yeah, but a little bit of mango with a bit of lime juice on it. Now, picking up the old taste buds.
Someone says that, you know, you did Skins.
Yes.
Did you enjoy that?
Yeah.
It looked like great fun, yeah.
It's great fun. I got to dance with a dog. When do you get to do that?
Exactly. So well made, that show, though. It's really, really good.
It's very good. It was great fun. And I had a lot of new fans. People came up to me going, "Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Is your Maxie's dad?"
Yeah. Like, yeah, yeah.
What? Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, I am, yeah.
Yeah, of course I am, yeah. In real life.
I did a little thing in it, and it took about 8 hours to do one scene. They do like to do it over and over again.
Was that the fact you kept getting it wrong?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's probably more to do with the quality of your acting, Scott.
I wasn't acting, I was just being a presenter. It wasn't
Was it Scott Mills as himself?
Mm.
Oh,
right. Most of his acting roles.
So it took you 8 hours to be yourself?
Pretty much, yeah. It was a fake reality show called Search for a Sex Bomb.
Right. Yeah.
And take 17.
Take 17.
Someone says that you do have a catchphrase from Skins, "All right, my lover."
All right, my lover? Is that my catchphrase?
Isn't it?
Okay. Well, I swear, all right, I'll claim that one then.
Yeah. Connie's been on the text saying, "I do like Bill a lot, don't get me wrong, but my auntie is obsessed with him, and when I go to her house, we have to watch all his DVDs all the time. I'm getting a bit sick of it."
Who's your aunt? Well, get your auntie on the phone. I don't want to speak to you, Connie. You're clearly jaded with my presence. Get your auntie. What's your auntie called? Get her the phone in.
Text back, please.
Text back.
Yeah.
On your auntie's behalf.
Someone says, "Did Bill go and see the red kite, the bird, in Dumfries and Galloway?"
Of course I did. I did indeed, yeah.
Is that on the show tonight, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. Yeah, okay. Spectacular.
Stoney's been on from Stratford saying, "I love birds as well."
I love birds, they're brilliant.
And someone says, did you set fire to a restaurant recently?
I didn't. I think this story slightly got out of hand. I didn't set fire to a restaurant,
okay,
which I probably would have made the 6 o'clock news, yeah. But I did burn a menu quite badly.
When was
this?
This
was the other night, and I was. You know, these restaurants have got this habit of putting those little tea lights on the table, those little candles in a little dish, I didn't notice it, and I was holding the menu over the tea light, and I thought, oh, is there a barbecue in here? Is somebody grilling something? And then. Just flame started to lick round the top of the menu, and it was proper alight.
Did it take hold quite
quick? It was, oh, like that. And I sort of lunged to try and put it out, then knocked a bottle over, and that smashed, and something else went over. It was like a mini chaos moment. But I didn't set fire. I have nearly set fire to restaurants in the past, with flaming Sambucas. It was a restaurant in Crouch End, and it had paper tablecloths. And at the end of the night, we had flaming sambucas, you know, and you set fire to it. And I knocked it over, and the table went up, and then all the sambuca went up, and it was it did get to this, somebody got an ice bucket of water and just chucked it over us like that. So yeah, I've got form.
You have in
the arson department.
Yeah, arson is on for you.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone says, Bill, please make more black books. I wanted to ask you that, actually. Is that going to happen?
No. Oh. No. You can't. No, because it's Dylan's thing. You know, Dylan wrote it, and it was his idea. And he's you know, he wrote, you know, him and us and other writers, they wrote three series, and they're all good series. And I think he just didn't want it to sort of go on and not be as good. And it's long. It took a lot of effort, and it takes a long time to do it. So he's doing other things. He's doing his acting and his stand up and so on. So there might be a musical version of it or something. You know,
that would be good.
It'd be quite fun, wouldn't it? Like a touring musical.
A question we ask everyone that's been on tour recently. You know, you've probably been staying in a lot of hotels, right?
Oh yes.
What's the first thing you do when you get in the room? Do you check the manual to see what's available in the hotel?
The first thing in a hotel, I check to see that there's a trouser press.
Yes, always.
And tea and coffee making facilities.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
shortbread.
The two things. Tick them off.
Yeah.
Tiny little individual sort of little bits of milk in a little cartons.
So the UHT. Yeah.
The UHT milk and the shortbread.
Yeah.
And see if there's a minibar. And if you can, if it's one of those automatic minibars, or whether you can just rob stuff out of it and it won't go on your bill. See, some of those minibars.
I hate the ones with the sensors.
With the sensors?
Oh.
That's horrible, isn't it?
No, that that's really unfair.
Just, you know, because I used to go, when I was on tour a couple of years ago, and with my wife and child, he was four, and he emptied the minibar before you wake up. So that's like £500 straight away on your bill.
He's just in a pack of M&Ms.
Yeah. It just everything. I was out, and I had to find out. I have a small child. I didn't do it, and you can't use that when you're on your own. I've tried. You can cheat it though sometimes.
Yeah.
If you get something of equivalent weight,
can you?
To say, if you get like, you know, like a sort of like in Indiana Jones, you know, you know, with the gold symbol, whatever with the Pringles, you get like something that the equivalent weight of a little tube of Pringles.
What do you use?
Like, you could use one of their complimentary socks, or one of their shoe wipes, and four drinks coasters, and you tape them up with a bit of tape, and then just really quickly, like, sort of replace it. And it won't show up on the bill. Free Pringles. In your face! In your face, Robo Bar!
Cheated it!
Yes! You're not putting one over on me! I'm the mini bar meister!
When you go on tour, do you travel like with like a pop star big entourage?
Massive entourage, yeah.
Or is it just you?
I have my own string quartet. I have my own harpist, actually.
Yeah.
And I have.
But you don't hang out with them all the time, do you?
God, no. They stay in a campsite up the road.
Good. I'm in a five-star hotel, darling.
Yes, get away from me. Only approach me when you have a latte. Get away, don't touch me.
So apart from your bird watching, what else are you up to at the moment?
I'm just hanging out. I've been on tour sort of pretty much constantly for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of
a bit tired, Bill.
I'm just kind of shuffling about at the moment, trying not to do anything and just taking it easy. But I'm sort of planning a tour at the end of the year and sort of all various things, TV films, meetings, books,
more meetings,
TV stuff, everything. It's all happening. It's all going on.
Brilliant. Okay, well, the show's on tonight on Sky One.
Yeah.
And Sky One HD, if you want to see the birds that can even prettier.
You want to see me bristles and my beard.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you feeling about HD?
I'm not so keen, actually.
It's on at 9 o'clock tonight, and you can see Bill with Alex Zane and Jeff Green and Cara Twinton and Joe Swash. It's a good show.
Thank you
very much for coming in today, Bill.
Mon plaisir.
Thank you all. Radio 1 Podcasts. Radio 1 Podcasts. Podcast. This is quite amazing. Since Bill Bailey's arson adventures a minute ago on Radio 1 when he came in, and the fact that he accidentally set fire to a menu on Christmas Eve. It's only when Bill Bailey confesses it on Radio 1 that people actually come out and say, yes, I have also set fire to a menu in a restaurant. They were too scared to say it before, but now everyone's kind of out. Doesn't it feel better? Just say it. If you've set fire to a restaurant menu or just to a table with a sambuca like Bill has, then just text in, you know? It makes you feel so much better. It's 9:16.
Bill Bailey was good. That'll be on the podcast later if you missed any of it. bbc.co.uk/radio1. And the podcasts are now all up to date, listeners, if you can't listen live. Right, Sugar Babes, Get Sexy. And before that, it was Coldplay and Talk. The posh Radio 4's on in a minute. The lady that reads out the Dear Scott messages. If you've got anything you want to say to us, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. I'll ask her to read it out.
The Scott Mills Daily.
You see, Sam's girlfriend set fire to her false nails in a restaurant just by the candle in Huddersfield. There's so many coming in now, people who have set fire to stuff in restaurants. All because Bill Bailey said it. He started it. That was Hot Chip and One Night Stand. I like that. It's 9:20. Sarah Cox is in the building. She's on at 10 this morning. OK, Dear Scott then. Stuff you want to know, stuff you want to tell us that's been happening over the last couple of days, read out by the PR4L.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy New Year and all that guff. Hope you had a gone one. Have I taken a holiday when I shouldn't have? Because loads of people can't get into work. Ron, Leek, Staffs.
Oh no, how annoying. This person has obviously taken some time off work when a lot of people aren't going in anyway because of the snow.
Oh, wasted holiday.
Really wasted. Can you not just call up your boss and cancel your holiday and say, I won't be coming in because of the snow, but can I have the week off again?
Do you know what? Some of my friends tried that. They didn't work at... It snowed at a weekend, and the people that normally worked at the weekend obviously didn't have to go into work, so they then on Monday were like, can we have extra days off because we've missed out on a free day off? And it was like, no, you can't.
It doesn't work like that.
But I can't believe they even tried to get an extra day off. It's like, it's not fair because they work Saturdays and they got to not go in and not take holiday.
Yeah. It's just unlucky, Ron, I think. That's you have to put it down to that. There's nothing much you can do. Next.
Morning, team.
Hi.
I heard you were stranded in sunny Darlington, Scott. Yeah. I have lived here all my life and never been hard enough to enter the pubs up by the station. Next time you're in Darlow, drop me a line and you can take me in, as they will remember your face as being one of the lads. Well done, you. Love you all. Rick sat at his office desk, doing as little as possible.
Rick, I don't think that's a great idea.
Why not? You'll have your own seat at the bar now and everything.
Do you think I'll have my own?
Yeah.
Actually, there was
your
a woman.
Little pint glass.
I remember there was a woman there in the corner and she was kind of like holding court across the whole pub. She obviously sat in that same seat for about 60 years and it seemed to be that everybody in there was aspiring to get that special seat.
Well, it's yours now.
One day, that could be my seat if I go in there for another 60 years every day. I'm not going to do that. But there was a woman there and she looked like she was like queen of the whole pub. Anyway,
that
Rick,
could be you.
No.
But it could be.
I'm not planning on going back. And even if I do go to Darlington again, it probably won't be the one near the station that I'll go to.
You'd love to be queen of there.
Next.
Hello, Scott, Becky and the PR4L. I would say hello to the one who never talks, but I'll wait for him to say hello first.
He just waved.
I was watching Subo's original performance on Britain's Got Talent, something I regularly do, and every time I watch it, I am intrigued by the member of the audience who makes a funny face. You know the one, just after Subo says, I'm trying to be a professional singer. A girl in the audience with dark hair and a purple jumper rolls her eyes to the ceiling and looks to her friend in what can only be described as a look of exasperation.
Yeah, I feel sorry for her. I think she may have got hate mail and everything now, that girl. Because that was the most viewed video, like, ever, or for a very long time.
This
anyway.
Person's watched it about 20 times.
Also, is it wrong that when I've had a few drinks, I do sometimes go on YouTube and just watch the Susan Boyle performance?
Do you?
Yeah. Well, that person also said that they watched it quite a lot. Listen.
Hello, Scott, Becky and the PR4L.
Got to hello to all the greetings first
again. I would say hello to the one who never talks, but I'll wait for him to say hello first.
He waved.
Yeah.
I was watching Subo's original performance on Britain's Got Talent, something I regularly do.
You see, it's not just me. Have a couple of wines. Watch it. It's brilliant. Brings a tear to the eye.
How does she feel being an integral part of the most watched YouTube video ever, seen globally by hundreds of millions of people? How does she feel knowing that all of these people watched her doubt Subo's mighty skills? And is she happy that Subo is now the most successful person ever? Tom.
Yeah, Tom, I hear what you're saying. That girl that rolled her eyes before Subo's performance, it's not her fault. Everyone was thinking the same. Like, the judges were like, oh, God, who have we got here as well? It's just that poor girl was singled out in one shot, rolling her eyes.
some kind of witness protection thing. No.
She's definitely must have had to change her name at least.
Do you think?
Or plastic surgery.
Really?
And you'd go for the surgery, wouldn't you? Just get a bigger nose or something.
I think she's had to move as well.
Wasn't me.
So, what did you do? What did you do? I rolled my eyes at Susan Boyle. Life's never been the same since then. I feel sorry for that girl. Next.
Hey, Scott. Remember typing stuff into Google and see what it suggests?
Yes.
Well, just try typing is and a space and see what it suggests. Funny. Simon.
Simon, I like the Google game.
I like it when someone tells you something's going to be funny as well. Because it always is.
We're just doing this now. Is.
Is. Do you want them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first one is Lady Gaga a man? And then the second one is Lady Gaga hermaphrodite? And is Lady Gaga a man or a woman? And then...
This is all from Is, the first ones that come up as results.
Is the world going to end in 2012? Is Louis Walsh married? And is it wrong to... No, I can't read that one out. I can't read the bottom one.
All right. It's a good game, though.
Is tonsillitis contagious? Don't get passion, people with sore throats. And that's it.
Very good. Thanks, Simon, for that. If you've got any more on the Google game, we always like to have new suggestions. Anything you want to say, scott.mills@bbc.co.uk. Put Dear Scott on the subject.
Radio 1 Podcast.
Radio 1 Podcast. That was the Scott Mills Daily. Why not try the best of Chris Moyles? Available now to download for free at bbc.co.uk/radio1.